Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So, from London, Vika Swarup, are you with us?
Yes. Yes, John.
Did you stay up late last night?
I didn't. I actually came in from Johannesburg, and, you know, there's a two-hour time difference. I went to bed early, and I woke up really to Sky News having this as the lead item, Slumdog Millionaire sweeps the Golden Globes.
Well, of course you didn't watch the Golden Globes. Of course you slept, because you're a diplomat for India posted in South Africa, and all you did was write the book, Q&A, on which the movie Slumdog Millionaire is based. But let me play for you the thank you that you got from Simon Beaufoy and his acceptance at the Golden Globes out in L.A.
It started with Vika Swarup, who wrote the novel Q&A, that amazing book about Mumbai. And it went through many, many other people's hands, too many to say thank you to, but to all of them, thank you.
And I'll add a thank you to that. First of all, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you, John.
The movie that was made from your book Q&A swept four, all the Golden Globes it was nominated for, it won. And, you know, what's interesting to me about the book and the movie, and I'm familiar with both, is that it sets up a premise about knowledge and understanding that I think is a truly amazing fable for the 21st century. Let me just describe it, and then I want you to kind of spin it out a little bit for me. A fellow wins an enormous prize on the famous, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show, and he's accused of cheating because he couldn't possibly have answered those questions. But his explanation of how he came to know those individual bits of knowledge is an amazing story of what it's like to grow up poor in India. And I congratulate you, sir, for making an absolutely just irresistible premise into a fable about rich and poor and romance that I have to say I haven't read in a long time.
Thank you so much, John. Really, when I was writing it, for me also, this was the central message, you know, that sometimes street knowledge can be as important as book knowledge. So let's not pretend that, you know, those of us who go to universities and read newspapers, we are the only ones who know. And those that serve us, you know, the minions, the little maids and the gardeners and the cleaners, they don't know anything. I wanted to show that, you know, life experiences can sometimes also give you the clues to the answers on a quiz show.
And this is your first book, of course, which is pretty annoying all by itself. But secondly, you know, do you ever have cause to say, hey, street knowledge is important in the course of your diplomatic work?
No, because it's a specialized world. You have to know things like note verbals, etc., which you otherwise wouldn't know. But in my novel, for instance, which you have read, he works with an Australian diplomat and he knows the term persona non grata.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that's fascinating about this is, you know, I suspect in your job as a diplomat, you, as a matter of career, are looking for common ground between people who maybe don't have a lot of common ground. Does it surprise you at all that this book seems to have found a kind of global common ground between rich and poor and East and West simultaneously?
Actually, to be very honest, John, I am surprised. I mean, believe me, when I was writing this book way back in 2003, I never imagined that it would appeal to people across the world. I mean, I thought it was a very Indian book set in India, and it does not even deal with the, you know, the exotic India of the Raj, etc. It deals with the underbelly of India, the seamier side of India. So I thought it would appeal only to readers in India. And here it is now being translated into 36 languages. And, you know, every medium that it's been translated into, it's won the top prize.
Talk about translation. Are you dancing right now?
Yeah, but I feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of dancing is not associated with diplomacy, but does any of the music from this movie, which is also as captivating as the story, does it resonate with you?
Absolutely. And let me tell you, I think A.R. Rahman is a genius. And I'm glad that he's got the Golden Globe, and I'm sure he will win the Oscar as well. It's high time people recognize what a creative genius he is. I mean, look at the music he's given for this. It's such an international score. There's hip-hop, there's reggae, there's pop. And yet it has an Indian soul, you know?
Now, let's talk about the Indian soul for a moment, because it seems to me that one of the things that this movie says, once again, is how important in this century the Indian literary voice is. In the same way that Huckleberry Finn was an important American literary voice about characters who came from a place that's far away but yet was instantly identifiable, it seems to me that you are part of this Indian literary tradition, which I think is really bursting forth in this century as a kind of global language.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think I'll tell you the reason. You see, stories in India are very elemental. I mean, I do not want to be disparaging at all. But, you know, because you live in a prosperous country, you know, your stories are about, you know, divorce and love and marriage and things like that. And in India, for instance, I mean, there are people battling it at the very, you know, they are ground zero of human survival, so to speak. And, you know, and that really, you know, to the human imagination, nothing can be more gritty than a person who does not know whether he will get his next meal or not.
No, it's true. And you're right to say that American literature and English-speaking literature in the United States and the UK is mostly about divorce and a lot of men and women ruminating about their emotional problems. And so there is something gripping about this little boy who will do almost anything. And again, the toughness, I didn't believe you could demonstrate why this kid is as tough as he is, but you do. Is there anything in you that relates to this tough little kid?
Actually, I mean, sorry to disappoint you, but no, I mean, believe me, I was not even hung up about being a writer. I mean, for me, it was a challenge to myself. And I thought to myself, can I do a book? Can I get a book published? And if I had not been published, probably you wouldn't be talking to me today, because right. I really, you know, wouldn't have believed in the dictum, you know, try again. You know, I mean, as I said, I have a comfortable day job. I would have been happy with it. Right. But you see, what my protagonist represents is not just himself. I mean, he represents millions of street kids in India, because what is powering this 9% growth rate of India? It's the fact that Indians at the bottom of the ladder have this irresistible desire to move up.
Wow. Well, Vikas Swarup, speaking about moving up, you can get any table in Los Angeles this week, so you better fly out there immediately. But why would you want to? Who would eat that kind of food that they serve at Spago's, right? Not enough spice. Vikas Swarup is the author of Q&A, the book on which the film Slumdog Millionaire is based. Congratulations, Vikas.
Thank you so much, John. It was a real pleasure speaking to people in America.